Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Chav Ches. We left off on the very top of daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph at the Idach. We're right in the middle of a conversation of how we know that the age of Bechor is determined by its birthday and not by Rosh Hashanah, and how we know that it's eaten l'shnei yom v'layla echad. So we had a machlokas yesterday, two different sources for each of those, two different opinions, what the source is for each of those halachas, and we're in the middle of that conversation to determine what each one is going to say about the other one's source. So that's going to take us until the two dots on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and then we're going to have two ways to understand the line in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said that of Nolad Bo Mum, B'toch Shnaso, that Rashi L'Kaimo, Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, that you're allowed to keep it Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, and then the Mishnah had said, more cryptically after that, that you could keep it L'Achar Shnaso, that you keep it for Shloshim Yom. What exactly does that mean? We're going to have two possibilities of what that means, and two Rayas, which understanding is correct. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if you only show the mum to a chacham after the shechita, or if the guy who looks at the mum is not a mumcha, and he tells you that you could be matir. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas. The Gemara is not going to, is going to explain that the whole machlokas in the Mishnah is only about a mum that cannot change. If a mum can change l'achar misa, then there's no doubt that if you didn't show it to anyone before it died, that whatever you see after it died is totally irrelevant. But we're talking about a mum that cannot change. Do we make a gzeira on such a case? Then on Amud Beis, right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about how much a non-expert who was matir the mum, and he's not allowed to do that, and he does it erroneously, how much he has to pay for costing you the money by erroneously being matir. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss there's a series of Mishnahs on Amud Beis, but the first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss a judge who makes a mistaken psak about other cases, not about a bechor, makes a mistaken psak about something else that costs someone money. Does the judge have to pay for his mistake? Does it make a difference who the judge is? Then the Mishnah after that is going to talk about a story about a judge who actually made a mistake, and based on the testimony of a doctor, it seemed that he was mistaken and he cost somebody money, and was he obligated to compensate the party that he had cost the money to? And then the last Mishnah on the daf, which goes into tomorrow's daf already, we'll talk about a person who gets paid to paskin shaylus of mum and whether that's appropriate or not. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the shiur. So let's begin at the very top of daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So if you recall, yesterday we had this machlokas of how we know that when we talk about the year of a Bechor, it means the year from his birth, not the year up until Rosh Hashanah of that year. And the machlokas, how we know that nechal shneyam v'layla echad, that a bechor could be eaten for 2 days and one night, like a korban shlamim, and not like a chatas v'asham or whatever. So v'idach, the debay rav that learns that a bechor is nechal shneyam v'layla echad from the words shana b'shana, why don't they learn it from the hekish to chaz v'shok of a korban shlamim, like Rav learned it? Says Gemara, no, imei hasam ikalameimur chaz v'shok shaltoda. If I would have learned from the hekish, I would have said the hekish is not to a chaz v'shok of a shlamim, but to the chaz v'shok of a toda, and a korban toda can only be eaten for yom v'layla. So that's what I would have assumed the hekish was about. That's why I need shana b'shana to tell me that it could be eaten for Shnei Yamim V'layla Echad. A number of the Achronim ask, well, wait a second, if the Hekesh was just to tell me that it could be eaten for Yom V'layla like a Karban Toda, then we don't need a Hekesh at all. We naturally would have assumed that it has the same din of a Chatos V'asham, which are Nechal L'Yom V'layla, because we would have learned, we would not have learned from Shlamim, because we would always be Tafasim Ruba Lo Tafasim, we would always be Tofes the Muat, and the Muat would be like Chatos V'asham, that it's Yom V'layla. So the Taras HaKodesh suggests that you could it could be that we would have assumed that you need the Hekesh to Chaz V'Shok of a Toda to teach me that a Bechor is only eaten by Zichri Kuhuna is not only by Zichri Kuhuna, but even to wives of Kohanim, to children of Kohanim, to the Avadim of Kohanim, just like a Chaz V'Shoka V'Toda can be Nechel L'Nesheyem L'Vneyem Ula Avdehem. So that's the Hekesh teaches us that element, not only the amount of time, because Ein HaChinami, the amount of time maybe we could have learned from Chatas V'Hashem, but tells me who gets to eat the Bechor? V'idach, says Gemara, and Rav, who learns that a Bechor is Nechel for Shnei Yam V'Layla Echad from Ubisarim Yelach, and he holds that the Hekesh is to a Karban Shlamim. How does he know that the Hekesh is not to a Chaz V'Shok of a Toda? So Gemara answers, even according to Rav, Ubisarim Yelach is for a Toda and not for a Shlamim, and he learns that a Bechor is Nechel Shnei Yam V'Layla because Amar Kra, it says in the end of the Pasuk, L'chayiyeh, those words are extra, because it already said, so hopefully, the Torah is giving you an additional time that the meat of a Bechor can be eaten in addition to the Yom V'Layla that we learn from Chaz V'Shok of a Toda. Meaning he acknowledges that there is this connection, this link to Chaz V'Shok of a Toda. Chaz V'Shok of a Toda is only for one day, one night. Right, and that's why we have an extra phrase in the Pasuk to add a Yom Acheres, another day that you're allowed to eat the Bechor. And the debate, Rav, why don't they learn that a Bechor could be eaten for Shnei Yam of Laila Echad from that extra riboy of L'chayiyah? So Gemara will say, Ime Hasam, Ikal Meimar Hayiyalach, Limer al Bechor Balmum, Shenosan L'Kohen, Shlomotzin L'Bekala Torakula. I would have assumed that when the Pasuk says Yalach, it's telling me that a Bechor Balmum you give to a Kohen, because we don't find a limud for that in the entire Torah to learn that you should give it to a Kohen. It's only those words, V'idach, and Rav, who uses L'chayiyah to add the second day of being allowed to eat the Bechor, how does he know that you give a Bechor Balmum to a Kohen? So Gemara explains, Amar Ubisaram Echatam Echad Balmum. It says Ubisaram in Lashon Rabim, Ubisaram Yelach in the plural. So Yelach is on two things, both a Tam and a Balmum. The Idach and the Debe Rav, what do they learn from the Lashon Rabim of Ubisaram? Ubisaram Dani Bechor Stukuli Yisrael Kamar. Ubisaram is a general, it's a general statement about Bechoros. It's about Bechoros of all Jewish people. So it's not about different halachic categories of Bechor. It's about the existence of Bechor, of Bechor Behemos that exists in the world. And there are many Bechoros that exist in the world, and that's why it speaks in the plural. Okay, now Vayter in the Gemara to just explain the next cryptic line of the Mishnah. No lo mum betoch shnaso. If a mum comes within the year, and we said within the year of the animal's birth, so you're allowed to hang on to that animal for 12 months. But then the next line was hard, because the next line said, which you don't quote over, but the next line said, La'achar shnei masar chodesh, Eino Rasha HaKoyin L'Kaimo El Shloshim Yom. That La'achar shnei masar chodesh, he's only allowed to keep it for 30 days. What does that mean? Ibayilu, Heichi Ka'amar. What is the Tana trying to say? Is it a single din, or are these two separate cases? Meaning, do we mean to say, no, the Dobetok Shnaso, Rasha HaKoyin L'Kaimo El Shloshim Yom Chodesh? If the mum develops within the year, so you could keep it the entire year. U'la'achar Shnaso Nami Shloshim. And in addition to being able to keep it the entire year, same case, you get an extension of another 30 days after the end of the year. Odilma, or maybe no, maybe it's two separate cases. Hey, chadinol ba mum betoch shnaso, rashay l'kayim l'chol shem asur chodesh v'sulo. If the mum comes within the year, so then you get to keep it for the entire yud beis chodesh. But that's it. Vehei chadinol lo achar shnaso, eino rashay l'kayim ela shloshim. But if the mum develops only after the year is up, then you only get to keep it for 30 days after the development of the mum. The first tzad l'chor is difficult to understand. What's the tzad that l'achar shem asur chodesh, you could just wait another 30 days? Meaning you get to keep it for 12 months. Okay. And 30 days. Just say 13 months. You know, it's, and it would be a violation of Bal Ta'acher, because, Tos says you don't violate Bal Ta'acher when you wait a Shana with a Bechor, because it's talking about when a Shana passes by without Regalim, like the Shita Rosh Shana, that Shana, that it's Shaykh to have a Shana without Regalim. But that can't happen if you add an extra 30 days. Then it's always going to be Bal Ta'acher. Because the example of how you can have a Shana without Regalim is that shavuos is chal one day after the completion of the year, after the whole year is over. So once you add 30 days, you're for sure going to have the regalim. So it's difficult to understand why it wouldn't be automatically bal ta'acher. But anyway, that's the Gemara's suffix. It's a kasha that the Acharon raised, but that's the Gemara's suffix. So it says Gemara Tashma. We'll come and we'll bring a raya. D'tanya. We have a brisa as follows. B'chor b'zman hazeh. Let's say you have a b'chor not a bal mamah, b'chor tam, that, but it's b'zman hazeh, so you can't shecht it. You have to wait until it develops a mum. Ad shelo nira la'aros l'chacham, until it became ra'oi to show to a chacham, because it didn't have any mum yet, and ri'yas chacham requires that there's a mum in order to paskin whether the mum is enough to be maturit for shechita. Rashi l'kaimu shtayim v'shalo shanim, you can keep it even 2 or 3 years. U'mishenir la'aros l'chacham, but once it develops a mum, nolod lo mum b'toch shnaso, Rashi l'kaimu kol shneim asar chodesh, if it developed a mum within the year, you can keep it for 12 months. Achar shnaso, after a year, ein rashi l'kaimo afilu yom echad v'afilu sha achas, you're not allowed to keep it even for one day, even for one moment, even for 1 hour. Aval mipnei hashavas aveda l'baylim, but because of the loss that the owner of the bechor, who's a kohen, is going to experience, amru rashi l'kaimo shloshim yom. They say that the kohen's allowed to keep it for 30 days. What's the chashash? That maybe the bechor is going to be biyad Yisrael and he's not going to find a kohen to give it to, and if he shechts it right away, as soon as it develops a mum, la'achar shnaso, there's a chashash that until the kohen comes, the meat is going to spoil. So that's why they were matir for the kohen to be mekayim it achar shnaso shloshim yom, so that even the Yisrael will be mechuyev to be mekayim shloshim yom achar shnaso as well, and that way the kohen won't lose out. After 30 days, if he didn't find a kohen, so the Yisrael is not chayev to keep it anymore, he should shecht it and salt it until he finds a kohen, try to preserve it as best he can, and the Gemara is assuming now that when we say that because of Hashavas Aveda Labailim, you're allowed to keep it Shloshim Yom, we're talking about the first case in the Braisa, that the Mum developed within the year, B'tok Shnaso, and aside from what we say that you're allowed to keep it for Shnei Masa Chodesh, we give an additional 30 days. So that's Poshet the Safek, that in the Mishnah also means to say a single case, that Nolad Lomum B'tok Shnaso, you can be Mekayim an additional 30 days after the year is over. Says Gemara V'adayin Tibayili. No, I'm still not sure what the pshat in the brisa is. When we say shloshim yom, are we achar shnaso or dilma kodem shnaso? When we say shloshim yom, are we talking about the second case of the brisa, that the mum developed after the year was up, but had it been, had the mum developed betok shnaso, you're not allowed to keep it for 30 days? Or maybe no, maybe it's talking about the first case of the brisa, that the mum developed kodem shnaso, and we're saying that yes, if after the 12 months are up, you get another 30 days that you're allowed to keep it. Not so clear in the brisa either, meaning we're using this brisa to be poshet the Mishnah. The brisa is not so clear what it means when it says the other 30 days. Is that a continuation of the first case, or is that a new case? So let's try a different raya. Tashma, we bring another raya. Noldo mum b'chamisha asa yom b'toch shnaso. 15 days before the year is over, a mum develops. Mashlimin lo chamisha asa yom achar shnaso. So you could complete 15 days after the year. So if the mum develops within the year, you're not allowed to keep it for 30 days after the year is over, only 15 days after the year is over. So that l'chor is poshet the safek about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about two separate halachas, two separate cases. One is if the mum develops b'tok shnaso, then you keep it until the end of the year. The second is if the mum develops l'achar shnaso, you keep it for 30 days from when the mum develops. And the braisa is being mechadesh, that if it develops a mum toward the very end of the year, you can keep it 30 days from when that mum developed, but not 30 days after the year is over, even though the 30 days from when that mum developed will be after, somewhat after the year is over, just not so shema mina. So that l'chara is a raya. So the Gemara brings a raya from this braisa to Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says this din in the braisa that we're mashlim shloshim yom is misayei l'Rabbi Elazar. Once we quote this braisa, we make note that this braisa is a raya to Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar, nosal shloshim yom shoshnol b'mum, that if a mum is developed, you always get 30 days from the development of the mum. So if it's 15 days before the end of the year, we do get an additional 15 days into the next year. Now the Gemara brings another lashon of Reb Lazar and asks from this price on Reb Lazar. Ikeda amri am Reb Lazar minayin lebechor shenol b'mum b'tok shnaso shnaso l'shoshim yom achar shnaso. How do I know that if a mum develops within the year, you get 30 days after the year is over? Shana b'shana, and the word shana b'shana means, sounds like it's 2 years. Eze hein yom hachshuv in shana haviyomer l'shloshim yom. When do we ever consider an amount of days to equal the be the halachic equivalent of a full year? Shloshim yom is the halachic equivalent of a full year. So therefore, we can learn that you give an additional 30 days after the first year. So if that's what Reb Lazar said, then the brice is against Reb Lazar. Meaning, if Reb Lazar says that the mum develops 15 days before the end of the year, that you get 30 days after the end of the year, then that's against the brice. So meisve, the brice says no, the mum b'chamisha asu yom b'tok shnasa mashlim lo chamisha asu yom achar shnasa. Only 30 days from the development of the mum, not 30 days after the year. Hashlama in, but mehaba lo. It's only the to be mashlim the 30 days, but 30 new days. You don't restart the clock on 30 days when the year ends. So tiyufta, Reb Lazar tiyufta. That would be a tiyufta on this version of Reb Lazar. So two versions of Reb Lazar. Whether Reb Lazar says when it develops a mum, you get 30 days from the development of the mum, or you get an additional 30 days after the year is over to be able to keep it. According to the first version of Reb Lazar, the Braisa is saying exactly the same thing. Second version, the Braisa is rejecting Reb Lazar. Okay, now we move on. New Mishnah. Hashoker es bechor. Person shechts a bechor. Umara es mumam. And he shows his mum after he already did the shechita to see if it's a mum kavua or a mum over, whether it was mutter for him to do the shechita. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says if it turns out that he got lucky that it was a mum kavua, then he's allowed to eat it. Rabbi Meir Omer, hol v'nishchat shalal pi mumcha asur. No, you shechted it without asking a mumcha, without asking an expert, and therefore it's going to be asur to eat. He says hol v'nishchat shalal pi mumcha is asur. Sounds like not only when the bailim shechted it is asur, even when someone else shechted it b'shogeg. That's the diuk of the Ramban. The Ramban says it's not only a knas for the bailim for doing something wrong, some other person who had nothing to benefit from it happened to shecht it thinking that he was supposed to, and so there's no makom for a knas. Ramban is medayik. It's not hol v'shachto ushchato, that since the bailim shechted it, it's hol v'nishchat, it got shechted. Rashi in Maseches Beitza writes that if someone else shechts it, then thinking that it was ready nita, it was ready hutar li de mumcha, then even Rav Meir would say that it's mutter. So the issue over here is whether this is a gzeira or a knas. If it's a knas, it's not shaykh to be kone someone who has nothing to gain from it and didn't do it on purpose. But if it's a gzeira, so then you'd understand more like Rash, more like the Ramban. So misha eino mumcha. If a person is not a mumcha for seeing bechor, a person could be a biktam chacham. So a person goes to the local Orthodox rabbi and they say, can you take a look, see if this bechor has a mum or not? And the local Orthodox rabbi, he has yara yara and yadin yadin, but he doesn't have yatir yatir. He never got that smicha. He's not a mumcha. He never spent any time with animals to develop a knowledge of what is and what isn't. V'roes ha-bechar, and he looks at the bechar to paskin, v'nishchat al-piv, and he says, yeah, that looks fine. That looks like a mum kavua. It looks like a bad boo-boo. So ha-reze, you cover the halach is, they have to bury the bechar because it's not mutal achila through this shechita. V'yishale mi beso, and the guy who paskined irresponsibly is going to have to pay the kohen from his own money because he did a nezek. Now, he didn't do nezek via Dayim, they shechted it al piv, but nevertheless he's chayiv because shitas Reb Meir in Baba Kama Daf Kuf is that merchayiv, that he's da in dina de garmi, that we are done dina de garmi, that even someone who damages in an indirect way is going to be chayiv for the damages, and this would fit into that category of dina de garmi. Tosfos Baba Kama writes that the lashon the mishkan nishchat al piv is lav dafka. It could be that he shechted it himself. But the Ramban and the Rush say, no, it doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah. Over here, the Chiyuv is, but the Chiyuv is even according to the Ramban, who are not done Din Degarmi, because over here it's a Knas, so that someone who's not a Mumcha should not start postulating things irresponsibly. So again, two ways to understand our Mishnah. Why is it that he has to pay? Three ways to understand. saying Rabbi Shimon. Why is it that he has to pay? He didn't do anything. He just passed and someone else shechted the animals, the shechit of the animal that was the nezek. He just said words. So either he's the one that shechted it. Okay, that's a little bit dachuk in the Mishnah. Or we're assuming like Ramei was done dina d'garmi, that even indirect damage like that would be enough. Or we're following the chum that are not done dina d'garmi, but we make a special knas because this guy acted terribly irresponsibly. So we punish him for behaving in such a way. Amar Rabba Barachana, Badukin Shaba'ayin, if the mum that you find, that the mumcha finds after Shechita, going back on that case, where they shechted it without asking any shaylas, and then after the Shechita, they look for a mum and they see that there is a mum, so we had a machlokas, can you eat based on that mum? So if it's Dukin Shaba'ayin, is the type of mum that you find after the Shechita, Dukuli Amalo Pligi Dasar, both Rami and Rabbi Yehuda are going to say that it's Asr, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that it's Asr to eat now, because Mnei Shein Mishtanin, that's the kind of mum that would change through Misa. So even though it looks like a mum kavua right now, it's very likely that while the animal was alive, it did not look like a mum kavua. It was not a mum kavua. Lo nechluku ella b'mum shabaguf. The whole machlokas is only about mum shabaguf that do not change. That's where we say that if it looks like a mum kavua right now, then it was a mum kavua while it was alive as well. Rav Meir savar gazrin mum shabaguf atu dukan shabayin. Rav Meir would say, well, if we start being matir that, then we're going to be matir dukin shabayin as well, and dukin shabayin is certainly not okay. Rabbi Yisrael, love as you mum shabukofat dukin shabayin. No, we could look at each mum separately. Dukin shabayin, we would never be matir because we know that changes. But a mum shabukof doesn't change, and therefore we're allowed to be somech that the mum was a mum kavua even while the animal was alive. And Tanya Namiachi, we have a brisa that says like Rabbi Barbrachana's understanding of this machlokas Rameh Rabbi Yisrael, that all machlokas is only on a mum that will not change, and it's all about whether we make a gzera or not. Hashochet is a bechor umara es mumav. If a person shaks a bechor and then only afterwards shows the mum to a mumcha, Rabbi Yehuda Omer bedukin shabayin aser mnei shein mishtan. Dukin shabayin, nothing to talk about, is for sure aser that changes. B'mum shabaguf mutter mipnei shein mishtan. Rabbi Yehuda says, but a mum shabaguf that does not change is going to be mutter because it doesn't change. You know that it was a mum kavo while the animal was alive as well. For Rameir says they're both going to be aser because they change. So says Gemara, what? Because they change, mipnei shehin mishtanin sal kadaituch mum shabaguf mi mishtanin. What do you mean? Because they change, dukin shabayin changes. A mum shabaguf doesn't change. So your metzias is wrong. Now elam mipnei ha mishtanin. Rameir is going to be machmir even on a mum shabaguf, on account of those mumin that do change, and people may not distinguish between duk and shabayin and those mumin that don't change. So even he's going to be machmer even on those mumin that don't change, gzeira atu those mumin that do change. And that's exactly how Rabbi Barbachana explained the machlokes Rabbi Rav Meir, that everyone agrees to the metzias that duk and shabayin changes, and therefore for sure not, you can't be matir based on what you find duk and shabayin after the shechita. Everyone agrees mumin shabaguf do not change, and therefore for sure if you see a mum kavua after the shechita, that mum kavua was there before the shechita as well. The machlokas is, do we make a gzeira about the mum shabaguf atu the dukin shabayin? So now the Gemara brings that from the lashon of Rav Meir in our Mishnah, we also see that must be the explanation of the machlokas. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak explains masnitin nami deka. It's meduyuk in the Mishnah that Rabbi Bar Bechana's understanding of the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is correct, that the whole machlokas is only about a mum shabaguf, because the Mishnah says Rav Meir Omer. Hol v'nishchat shelo al pi mumcha aser. Shema mina knasa kakanis rameir. That it seems very clear that it's a knas because you shechted it shelo al pi mumcha. Meaning, why is it aser? I would have said it's aser because there's a problem. You don't know that there was a mum. No. It's aser because you did the wrong thing. You shechted shelo al pi mumcha. This sounds like a punishment. If the machlokas was about a dukin shabayin and whether it changes or not, it should have said rameir oser. Since it changes, and therefore you don't know whether this was actually a mum, but the lashon of the Mishnah Shema Mina is in fact a strong indication that our understanding of this machlokas is correct. Okay, so the Gemara raises the following suffix. This assumption that Dukin Shabbayim changes, is that always true? Is that universal? Ibayilahu. When Rameir says that the Gezer of Mum Shavguf is Mipnei Hamishtanin, is on account of Dukin Shabbayim, which do change. To Kulu Mishtani, does he mean that all Dukin Shabbayim change? Or is it sometimes yes, sometimes no? Meaning, is it that Dukin Shabbayim always change, or that Dukin Shabbayim sometimes change, and therefore we always have to assume that that there was no mum mechayim when you see Dukin Shabbayim? So it says, well, the main afkamina, what difference does it make? Either way, we don't know when you see Dukin Shabbayim whether it changed or not, so you can't be matir it. So what's the issue? So Gemara explains the halachic nafkamina on this suffix that this suffix is going to relate to is if you shecht it without showing it to a mumcha, and now you have a mum kavua la achushe sahadi. Let's say edim come and they are made that the dok shabayin that looks right now that they see right now is a mum kavua, and they saw it mechayim. The edim come and say this looks exactly the way it looked while this animal was alive. So yamr kulu mishtani, if you say every duk and shabayin always changes, shakri ninu, then these edim are liars. We know not to trust these edim, and therefore if these edim are your edim kiddushin tomorrow, you're not married. If these, meaning these edim are edim shakranim, they're absolute liars. But if it's possible that sometimes change, sometimes doesn't, then samchin alayu, you could be somech on the redus that this mum has not changed, because that is a reasonable possibility, and they're being made to it, and then you'd be able to be matter the Bukhar, like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who was not gozer on mumim that do not change, mishum mumim hamishtan. Meaning, once you know that the metzius is that this mum has not changed, then even if it's a dugan shabayin, you'd be able to be matir. So that's the nafkamina. So mai. So says, well, okay. So now, how do we answer this suffix? Tashma, we bring a raya. Dam Rabba Bar Bachana, sochli Rabbi Yoshia de Minusha. Rabbi Yoshia de Minusha told me, ba'over racha badukin shehin mishtanim. I'll show you that badukin that they change. Midkamer le bo ve'er acha. From the fact that he just didn't say all Dukin Shabbayim change, he said, come, let me show you. Makes it sound like it was something to show because it wasn't universal, it wasn't something that always happened. That's how the Gemara assumes that Dukin Shabbayim sometimes change, sometimes don't change, and we just don't know if it changed or not. So, some of the Achronim, wait a second, why isn't it always a Svek Sveka then to be Matar the Bukhar? There's a suffix whether this mum is a mum Shemesh was changed or not, and even if it did change, maybe it changed, but who says that it was not a mum kavua when it was alive? Meaning, maybe it changed, it looks different, it looks like a different kind of mum kavua. Maybe it was a mum kavua when it was alive as well. Even though you can't flip around this Svek Sveka, because if you're going to decide that this mum was not a mum kavua michayim, so then there's no second sad lahatir, but the Prichadosh Paskins in Klali Svek Sveka in Simon Kuf Yud, that you don't need a Svek Sveka hamas hapech. So then, therefore, we should be matir. That's a big discussion. In Klali Svek Sveka, does the Svek Sveka need to be formulated in the reverse? Okay, but let's assume you don't need it to be formulated in the reverse. So you don't need a Svek Sveka Mesapich. So why, Taka, don't we have a Svek Sveka over here? Okay, so that's something that the Achronim work on over here. If it's possible that the Dukin Shabbayin did not change, so then Yit L'chari Yave Svek Sveka. One could argue, generally the answer to that question, whenever we ask, why isn't this a Svek Sveka? The answer is, it's not two Svekas, it's all one Sveka. Meaning, if a Mum changed from one type of Mum Kavua to a mum kavua that looks slightly different, then it didn't change. Meaning halachically it didn't change. Halachically it's the same. So you could argue it's just all one suffix. Suffix is, was it a mum kavua mechayim? Was it not a mum kavua mechayim? And that's the only issue. So probably that's how the Achronim would go about answering such a suffix. Now the problem with this whole sugya is that there is a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Kuf Chaf which talks about simanim that you find in a person that has died to be somichan and say, oh, this must be the person who went missing to be matir the guy's wife, right, that she shouldn't be an aguna anymore, and whether you can be somich on the simanim in Torah. So the Gemara says that even if min Torah you could be somich on simanim, but a din of a shuma, if you find some sort of mole on the person, it's tali in a machlokas whether a shuma is asuyi l'shtanos la'achar misa. If a shuma can be mishtana la'achar misa, then you cannot be somich on it as a simon, but if it's not asuyi l'shtanos la'achar misa, then you can be somich on it as a simon. So another Yehuda raises the question, Madura Kama Ebenezer Simon Nun Aleph. What difference does it make that it's able to be mishtana la'achar misa? If minatori, you're allowed to be somich on simanim, the very fact that this guy has a mole on the same part of the body as the missing person, I don't care what it looks like, the existence of it is a simon. How many people have a mole on that part of their body? Isn't the why do you have to look at what it looks like? Why isn't it enough that I know that the missing person had a mole and this guy has a mole on the same part of his body? And he says that really from the Ravid, which is quoted in the Shittim Vetzas in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Zayin, it seems that he holds that a shuma is just a change of skin tone, and according to the shita that a shuma is asuy l'shtanos, it could be that a shuma will develop la'achar misa even if it wasn't there at all beforehand. So that's why it's not a simon at all, the existence of a shuma, because a shuma could happen la'achar misa. It doesn't mean that it could be mishtana la'achar misa, that if it's there it will look different. It means it could even come la'achar misa. He says then I don't have a kasha. But according to Rashi in Maseches Yevamos, Rashi says that no, a shuma doesn't develop la'achar misa, it just changes la'achar misa. So he says, I don't understand. What difference does it make that it's yichol l'shtanos? It's just its existence is a simon. So Nodav Yehuda writes that what probably forced Rashi into saying that it doesn't develop la'achar misa is our sugya, because our sugya says you shech the bechor and then you bring it to a chacham to be bodik the mum. If the mum was dukin shabayin, you cannot be somich on the bedika la'achar shchita, because that's asuy l'shtanos la'achar misa. But all other mumim and behema are not mishtana la'achar misa, and we have this machlokas tanaim. Are we gozer other mumim that you can't be bodik them la'achar misa gzeira? Or do we not make such a gezerah? One of the other mumen that a bechor could be shechted on is a yabelas, is a shuma, is some type of mole on its body. So it turns out that apparently that can't be mischadesh la'achar misa. And that's why Rashi says that if by a behema can't be mischadesh la'achar misa, mistama, by a human being it also can't be mischadesh la'achar misa. So the whole case in Yevamos Kufchaf must be that it just changed in appearance la'achar misa. And then the Yehuda says, now I have my kasha. Why isn't its very existence considered to be a simon? The Ravid, for his part, would say, no, it can develop la'achar misa. You ask me a kasha from Bechoros. Bechoros is about animals. Who says that what happens with animals has anything to do with what happens with human beings? Maybe by animals it's not going to develop, it's not going to appear la'achar misa, but by human beings it will appear la'achar misa. But anyway, that's another Yehuda's kasha on Shitas Rashi. Now the Achronim work on that kasha in terms of what exactly the Gedarim are of Asuya Lishtanos, and based on how you answer that kasha is going to be is going to determine whether fingerprints are a valid simon in terms of determining a person's identity, because apparently fingerprints are also Asuya Lishtanos, but they're not Asuya Lishtanos la'achar misa. Apparently that through a person's life a person's fingerprints might change. I don't know, you get a cut or something, a scarring or whatever, or maybe just when you, I don't know, maybe just when you grow it could change, but apparently it's asuy l'shtanos. The metzius is that it's asuy l'shtanos mechayim, but it's not asuy l'shtanos la'achar misa. So depending how you defend Rashi, that's going to be the sugya, meaning it doesn't seem like this should be so halacha l'maisa the sugya, but that's going to be the sugya in terms of the evidence, the acceptable level of evidence that fingerprints may or may not be. Okay, says the Gemara further now. A person who is not an expert and decided, hey, I'll paskin on a bechor today, and they shechted it because he paskined, so you bury that bechor, and the guy who decided to take it upon himself to paskin, irresponsibly, so he's going to have to be mishalim mibeso. So this seems that the idea that you're covered the bechor because you're not allowed to eat it is going like Rameir, who doesn't allow eating a bechor if it was not seen by a mumcha before shechita. Meaning, I would have said, don't bury it, show over to a chacham now. Maybe the chacham now, lachar shechita, is going to be able to find a mum. Oh, it must be someone like Rav Meir that you're not allowed to do that. Says Mar, no, duma b'dukin shabayin v'divrei hakol. Maybe he was matir based on the dukin shabayin, and then everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that you can't show it to a chacham. Okay, how much does he have to pay? So Tana, k'shu mishalim, mishalim reveal l'daka, u'mechza l'gasa. So the Brisa tells us, someone who's not a mumcha, and paskin on the bechar, when he pays one quarter of the value of the bechar if it's a bema daka, and one half of the value of the bechar when it's a bema gasa. And the reason is, because it's really mamun amutul b'safik. There's a tzad to say that he was mafsid the entire thing to the kohen, because even if he would not have been matirit, it could be that it was a mum kavua, and if it would have been shown to a mumcha, the mumcha would have been matirit l'achila. So he's being mazik the entire thing, because now it has to be buried, and the kohen could have had the whole thing, and now he doesn't get anything. But there's also a tzad that he wasn't mafsid anything by paskin here, because maybe it didn't have a mumcha vua, and the mumcha never would have been matirit anyway, and maybe never would have developed a mumcha vua until it died, in which case you would have had to bury it anyway. So since it's a safek, he's not going to have to pay the whole thing. He's only going to have to pay half. So my time, well, what's the reason that for a behema daka he pays a quarter, and for a gasa he pays a half? According to what we just said, it should be half both for a daka and for a gasa. So I'm Rav Papa, zeh hefsid meruba. No, behema gasa is a major loss, so you got to pay half. Vizeh hefsid mur. Behema daka is not so valuable anyway, so you only have to pay a quarter. So I said, wait a second. No, half and quarter are percentages of, meaning, so yes, a behema daka costs a lot less than a behema gasa, but the percentage of should have been the same. It's mamun amutul b'safek cholkin. Say yachi l'fum pseida l'shalim. You should still say that he should pay based on the law. So even a behemadaki should pay half the hefsid muat. Why would he pay a quarter? So Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach mishmei d'ravach barika mishum gzeiros megadli behemadaka nagruba. The reason behemadaka only pays a quarter and not a half, meaning the guy who erroneously was matir behemadaka only pays a quarter and not a half, is because there's a major tircha to be megadli. So when he was matir the bechor shalok adin, yeah, he made you lose out because you can't eat it. But he also saved you some money, because he saved the kohen the tircha, which is a significant tircha of raising it until it develops a mum. And if you would have shown it to someone else, maybe the other guy would not have been matir it, and you would have had to keep on raising it for an extended period of time until it develops a mum. So that's why they say you only pay reva, the mechza that he would have had to pay. Plus the loss of but he gets reimbursed, so to speak, for the loss that that he saved you by getting this animal out of the way, so that you don't have to be megadalit, which would have cost a lot of time. Okay, says the Mishnah. Once we're talking about someone who makes a mistaken psak, donas adin, a person paskins din imamun, zikas achayev chiv es hazakai, he paskins the wrong way, timei es hatar v'tir es hatamei, or he causes a hefsid by being mitar that which is tamei, or vice versa. Masha asa asui. Even when you realize his mistake, we don't make one party return to the other party. So the dayan is going to have to pay for it out of pocket, but his psak din is final. And if he's an expert dayan, then he does not have to pay, because the mafsid cannot say to the dayan, what were you doing? Why did you take on my case? This is above your pay grade. He's human. He made a mistake, but this was not, it was not irresponsible for him to take on this case. So says Gemara, Lema Tnan Stama, Kremeir, Didon Dina Degarmi. Our Mishnah that says that the Dayan has to pay, even though he didn't do any Hezek Biodayim, that's only Garmi. So Stam Mishnah seems to be assuming like Kremeir, who's Dayan Dina Degarmi. So Amar Abila'a, Amarav, Kigon Shenasam Nasam Yad. No, this wasn't Garmi. He did it directly. The Dayan actually confiscated the money from one person and gave it physically to the other person. So Bishlam Chieves Hazakai Kigon Shenasam Nasam Yad. That makes sense in the case of Chieves Hazakai. A guy should have been potter, but you made him pay, so I mean you literally took the money away from him. Elzika Sachayev, but if you're Mazaka the Chayev, someone should have had to pay, and you say, don't worry, you get to keep it. Hey Chidami, how could you have done that be a Dayan? Idam Le Potter Ata. If you just tell the guy, you're you're pater, v'alo nasam nasam biyad. You didn't physically do anything. It's only garmi. Amaravina k'kon shayilo mashkon unatalo emeno. No, the case must be that there was a mashkon involved and you confiscated the mashkon and said you got to give back the mashkon because the guy does not owe you any money. So if you took away the mashkon from him, so that's something that you are doing biyadayim. It's not only garmi. And says Gemara, we can explain the hemshech of the Mishnah as well. Tame es hatahar. What does it mean that you were metame that which is tar? You said it's tame, and I'll prove to you that it's tame. I'm going to take this sheretz and I'll put it on the thing, and because it's tame anyway, it's not making a difference. But it was really tahar, and by the dayan taking the sheretz and putting it on the food, he's being metame. The igabu sheretz, the chachmu paskind put the sheretz on it. So in order to show how confident he was in his psak, and tieres hatame sheirvan in perosav. Tieres hatame is talking about that after he paskind that the peros are tahar, he mixed them with the peros that he was asked about with other peros that are vaday tahar in order to strengthen his psak. So he was metami it biadayim. So in that case where he did it biadayim, it's not an issue of garmi. In that case, he's going to have to pay even shalok rameir, even if you assume not like rameir. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the second to last mishnah on chav ches amidiz.